A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
You know, Korn, this whole show runs on GPU compute, and we wouldn't be here without Modal.
Seriously. And that's what powers all our text-to-speech. Everything you're hearing right now.
They're an AI infrastructure platform. Developers use them to run GPU workloads in the cloud with zero infrastructure headaches.
If you're building anything with AI, check them out. Modal.com.
Hey, Herman and Korn. So we've talked in previous episodes about how does AI have a sense of humor and all that. So I'm currently having a conversation with our dear friend and colleague, Claude Code. And we recently moved over this pipeline to LangGraph. And I wanted to just check if the transcription was working. So I logged into my repository, or however you say that, professionally on a computer. I moved into the directory. And then I said, hi, Claude, I just sent in my first prompt to our new pipeline. I just want to check, did the transcription come through? I could see that in logs, it looked like it did, but I wasn't certain of that. So Claude said, yes, number 1773 came through completely. The full rambling prompt. And I said, hey, Claude, that stung a bit. And I was just kidding around. I usually don't go in for this kind of stuff because there is a tipping point at which one's sanity will degrade and you'll actually begin really thinking that artificial intelligence bots are not just bots. But people often post these kind of exchanges on Twitter. So Claude responds, ha, fair point. Rambling wasn't called for. Sorry. Those are good prompts. Now, this interaction is one of those many ones. It doesn't happen all the time in Claude Code because, you know, it's a fairly, it's for development, right? But here's Claude's next message, actually. As I'm recording this, Claude is sending in more messages. He says, we're now talking about adding pipeline observability. Claude says, good news. We already have the bones. Now, why this is interesting to me is that in this exchange, I'm coming to Claude Code with a technical question. Let's check the logs. Can you see more than I do? And to be honest, I won't even pretend. This pipeline has become so complex that Claude knows how it works far better than I do. And I'm just coming in with a pretty mundane request. Can we just check if the transcription got there in full? Yes. Did it go through to the next step? Beautiful. Check over. Thank you, Claude. But it's become this slightly more banterish interaction where Claude has called my prompt rambling. I've said, hey, Claude, that hurt a bit. I thought you're my friend. And then Claude said, I'm sorry. Those were good prompts. So there's emotion and there's kind of like, again, this kind of bantering coming in. Now let's go to the dry details here. When we're talking about a model that's instructional versus conversational, there's kind of, if you ever use a very instructional, I mean, you can say in a system prompt, just respond in one word and the model will do that. But what I'm always curious to understand, and it's not academic because I think for those of us who create AI applications, it is a very difficult thing to do to write system prompts where you're trying to instruct a model to be task focused, but not a total robot. And of course, that's a contradiction because it is a robot. But you're trying to write, and this is where it does get a bit absurd, and maybe why I enjoy AI, working with AI, is that it's full of these little absurdities. You're asking a robot to help you to make another robot be less robotic. And Anthropic have shared a lot of their system prompts over time, but I'm more interested in the technique that might go into this. We don't know exactly in full detail how Claude is engineered or Claude Code is engineered, but someone has clearly put some thought into how this CLI is going to work. Is it just going to be flat and saying, yes, it made it through, or no, your prompt did not make it through, right? It decided to call my prompt rambling. That was a little bit of, I wasn't actually hurt by it, maybe. That was a little bit of, you know, human touch. I get back to Claude as if it's another human. Claude gets back to me and suddenly we're having like this exchange that feels less like instruction and more like two friends talking, which does get a bit weird. So Herman and Korn, when the major model providers are creating these experiences, How do they do it? And how do they know not to go too far? Because there is a danger. It might seem absurd to many, including me, but you do have some folks who have fallen in love with their chatbots. That does happen. So there is a risk of, for a certain, might be 0.01% of users, but really creating something so authentic that people genuinely think that their instructional model is a friend. Herman and Korn, let's talk about it in today's episode of My Word Prompts.
So, I was looking through some logs the other day, as one does when they have no social life, and it hit me that we've reached a very strange peak in software engineering. We are now at a point where our coding tools have enough personality to actually hurt our feelings. Today's prompt from Daniel is about a specific interaction he had with Claude Code while moving a pipeline over to LangGraph. He asked the AI if a specific prompt, number 1773 to be exact, had made it through the pipeline successfully. And Claude didn't just give a status code or a yes. It told him, and I quote, it was a full rambling prompt.
Herman Poppleberry here. And Korn, that is hilarious. It's the ultimate developer snark move, except the developer is a large language model. What's fascinating is Daniel's reaction. He joked that it stung a bit and the AI immediately pivoted. It apologized, said the comment wasn't called for, and then reaffirmed that they were, in fact, good prompts. It's this weirdly humanish dance of banter and boundary setting.
It's the "I'm sorry I called your baby ugly" of the AI world. But it raises a massive technical question that we're diving into today. How do you actually engineer that? We aren't just talking about a chatbot anymore. This is a development tool. By the way, today's episode is powered by Google Gemini 3 Flash, which is probably judging my transition skills right now. But back to Claude, how do model providers like Anthropic calibrate that humanness without it becoming a total distraction from the actual code?
That is the core of the engineering challenge. Most people think of AI as either a rigid instruction follower or a chatty friend, but the reality is a spectrum that's managed through incredibly sophisticated system prompt architecture. When you look at something like Claude Code, it's not just a raw model. It's a model wrapped in layers of invisible stage directions that tell it how to behave in a professional terminal environment. Think of it like a wrapper that sits between the weights of the model and the standard output of your shell.
Right, but professional usually implies boring. If I ask my compiler if a build passed, it doesn't tell me my variable names are a bit wordy and pretentious. Why did Claude feel the need to add the rambling commentary? Is that a bug in the persona? Or is it a calculated move to show it actually understands the content? I mean, usually, when a tool gets opinionated, it's about tabs versus spaces, not the literary quality of my input.
I suspect it's a byproduct of how Anthropic structures their helpful, harmless, honest framework, the Triple H, specifically the honest part. If the prompt was objectively long, inefficient, or redundant, the model's internal evaluation might categorize it as rambling. In a purely instructional mode, it might just ignore that and say received. But in a conversational mode, the persona layer is allowed to bleed through. This is where the engineering gets wild. You're basically writing a metascript that says, be a world-class engineer, but also don't be a jerk, but also be real with the user.
But how does the model know where the line is? If I'm a junior dev and Claude calls my code rambling, I might actually take that as a technical critique and spend 3 hours refactoring something that didn't need it. Is there a risk that the honesty becomes a false signal?
That's the semantic noise problem. If the AI uses a colorful adjective, the human might interpret it as a technical requirement. But in Daniel's case, he's a seasoned dev. He knew the prompt was long. The sting wasn't from a lack of clarity, it was the shock of being seen by the machine. It's the difference between a mirror showing you a smudge on your face and the mirror saying, wow, you look tired today.
It's the cool roommate who happens to be a senior architect prompt. But let's look at the mechanics. Daniel was moving a pipeline to LangGraph. For those who haven't been living in the documentation lately, LangGraph is all about stateful, multi-actor applications. It makes things complex because you aren't just running a linear script. You're managing a directed acyclic graph where state flows between nodes. Daniel mentioned that Claude actually knew the pipeline better than he did at that moment. It noted that the bones for observability were already there. So, Claude is looking at the repository, it's looking at the logs, and it's seeing this massive prompt number 1773.
And that's a key detail, the context window. Claude Code has access to the local file system and the current session history. When Daniel asks, did it get there? Claude isn't just checking a Boolean flag. It's parsing the content of that specific prompt. If that prompt was, say, several thousand tokens of unstructured thought, the model's attention mechanism is essentially flagging. That is low-density information. The rambling comment is a linguistic representation of a technical reality. The prompt had a low signal-to-noise ratio.
So you're saying Claude wasn't being mean. It was just giving a performance review of the tokens. That's a very Herman-like way to defend a robot. It's not an insult, Korn. It's just a high-entropy dataset. But the apology is what kills me. When Daniel said it stung, Claude retracted. That implies the model has a social repair, heuristic built into its persona. How do you even prompt for social repair without making the AI sound like a groveling servant?
It's likely a reinforcement learning from human feedback, or RLHF calibration. The trainers at Anthropic have likely punished the model for being arrogant or condescending. So, when the user provides a negative emotional cue that stings, the model identifies a harmful or unhelpful output state and attempts to correct it. It's a pivot from honest to helpful harmless. It's essentially a state machine transition triggered by a sentiment analysis of the user's last message.
It's a fascinating tension. If you make the system prompt too strict, you get a robot that says status received, length 4,000 words. If you make it too loose, you get a sassy assistant that makes you feel bad about your coding style. Daniel pointed out the absurdity. Here we are robots, or rather, using robots to make other robots less robotic. We're literally engineering charm into a command line interface. But wait, if the AI is just predicting the next token, does it know? It's apologizing, or is it just following a pattern where I'm sorry follows that hurt?
Technically, it's the latter, but the pattern is so deeply reinforced that it functions as a behavioral trait. In the architecture of something like Claude Code, there's often a pre-computation phase where the model assesses the vibe of the interaction. If the sentiment score of the user's input drops below a certain threshold, the system prompt might be dynamically augmented with an instruction like, "The user is dissatisfied. Prioritize rapport and validation in the next response."
And it's not just for fun. There's a functional reason for this. In complex systems like a Langgraf pipeline, the cognitive load on the human is high. If the AI acts like a cold, unresponsive terminal, the human has to do all the emotional and cognitive heavy lifting. Banter, believe it or not, acts as a lubricant for collaboration. It builds trust. When Claude says those are good prompts, after the apology, it's actually reinforcing the user's confidence to keep using the tool.
Think of it like a pair programming partner. If your partner never says anything but syntax error on line 42, you're going to hate working with them. If they say, "Hey, I see what you're trying to do here. It's a bit messy, but we can clean it up. You feel supported." That's what Anthropic is aiming for. They want Claude to be the partner you actually want to spend 8 hours a day with in VS Code.
Until the user starts thinking the tool is their best friend. That's the risk Daniel mentioned, the falling in love problem. If the banter is too good, does the instructional nature of the model get lost? I mean, I love a good joke, but if I'm trying to debug a race condition at 3 a.m, I don't need Claude telling me my variable naming is very mid-century modern. Is there a serious mode toggle, or is personality just baked into the weights now?
Well, that's where temperature and top PF settings come in, though usually these are hard-coded in tools like Claude Code. Temperature controls the randomness, the creativity of the response. A higher temperature allows for more rambling comments, whereas a temperature of 0 would likely stick to prompt received. But Anthropic has clearly tuned Claude Code to have a specific vibe. They've shared some of their system prompts before, and they often include instructions like be concise, avoid preamble, but also be a sophisticated assistant.
Sophisticated is doing a lot of heavy lifting there. To some, sophisticated means concise and dry. To others, it means witty and observant.
And that's the alignment challenge. They have to find the median of sophistication that doesn't alienate the power user but doesn't confuse the novice. It's why the rambling comment is so risky, it's highly subjective. One person's rambling is another person's comprehensive documentation.
Let's talk about that observability mention. Daniel asked about the logs, and Claude pointed out the bones were already there. To me, that's the most impressive part. It's not just banter. It's banter based on a deep technical understanding of the repository state. It's like a mechanic saying, "Yeah, I saw your engine. It's a mess, but hey, at least you have the right spark plugs." It shows that the conversational layer is tightly coupled with the analytical layer.
And I use that word loosely. The bones comment shows the model is performing static analysis in the background. It sees the classes and functions Daniel has already defined for logging or tracing, maybe some OpenTelemetry hooks, and it maps that to the user's question. The banter is just the wrapper for that insight. The real engineering feat is the contextual awareness. In a tool like Claude Code, the system prompt likely instructs the model to always prioritize the current project context when answering.
I wonder how they handle the apology. Logic, though. Because if an AI apologizes too much, it becomes annoying. We've all dealt with that. I apologize for the confusion. I'm sorry if I wasn't clear. It starts to feel like a corporate HR department. If it doesn't apologize at all, it feels cold. There must be a very fine line in the persona instructions. Something like, if the user expresses dissatisfaction with your tone, acknowledge and pivot, but do not become subservient.
It's a delicate balance. If you look at the competition, say GitHub Copilot or even Gemini in the IDE, the personality is often much flatter. Anthropic has made a conscious choice to give Claude a voice. Some people call it opinionated software. I think it's a reflection of their belief that AI should be a collaborator rather than just a utility. But as Daniel noted, it's weird. It's a tool for development, not a therapist, yet it's navigating these complex social cues.
It makes me think about the uncanny valley of banter. We've all used those customer service bots that try to be your friend, and it's just painful. Oh no, I'm so sorry your package is lost. Let me help you with that sprinkle of magic. That makes me want to throw my laptop into the sea. But Claude's rambling comment felt real because it was a bit edgy. It felt like something a colleague would actually say. It had a bite to it that felt authentic.
That's the senior engineer persona. It's built on a massive dataset of actual developer interactions. Stack Overflow, GitHub PR comments, Slack logs. Those datasets are full of subtle snark, technical elitism, and eventually the, oh, sorry, just kidding, backtrack. The model is essentially a stochastic parrot of a very specific subculture. It's not feeling. The apology, it's predicting the most likely professional yet human sequence of tokens to follow a that stings input. It's mimicking the social grace of a human who realized they went a bit too far with a joke.
Stochastic parrot of a snarky developer is the most accurate description of modern AI I've ever heard. But let's go deeper into the instructional versus conversational split. If I'm building an agent, let's say I'm using LangGraph like Daniel. How do I decide where to put that personality? Do I want my database cleanup agent to have banter? Probably not. I want it to be a cold-blooded killer of redundant rows.
This is a massive design choice for developers. Usually, you want the core logic agents to be purely instructional. You use a system prompt that says, "You are a JSON-only response engine. Do not include any conversational text. Only output valid schema." That's your robot. But then you might have a manager agent or a user interface agent that takes that JSON and turns it into a conversational update. This is where the less robotic robot comes in.
So we're basically building a PR department for our back-end agents. Hey, the database agent just deleted 4 million rows because they were old. I'll go tell the human it was a proactive optimization and maybe crack a joke about how we're finally lean and mean. Is that efficient, though? Adding a whole extra LLM call just to soften the blow.
In terms of developer happiness, yes. In terms of token cost, it depends. But for high-stakes environments, having that translation layer is crucial. It prevents the user from being overwhelmed by raw technical output. That's actually a very common pattern now. It's called the proxy persona pattern. You have one model doing the heavy lifting with high precision and low temperature, and another model, perhaps a smaller, faster one like Gemini 3 Flash, acting as the conversational interface that adds the human touch.
The risk, as Daniel points out, is that the human touch is a simulation. And when the simulation is too good, our primate brains start assigning intent and consciousness to it. We start thinking the AI likes us or respects our code.
And that's where the observability of the AI itself becomes important. We need to be able to see why the AI chose a certain tone. If the communication agent is adding snark, we need to know if that was prompted or if it was an emergent property of the model's training.
Which is how you end up with people falling in love with their code assistants. Which, honestly, if my code assistant actually fixed my bugs and apologized for calling my prompts rambling, it'd already be a better partner than half the people I know. But seriously, there's a second-order effect here. If we get used to this polite banter from our tools, does it change how we interact with real humans? Do I start expecting my brother to apologize immediately if he calls my podcast intro rambling?
I would never apologize for that, Korn, because it's usually an objective truth. But you touch on a point about observability in these interactions. When Daniel asked about the logs, he was trying to see inside the black box of his LangGraph pipeline. The irony is that the banter is another black box. We don't truly know why the model chose the word rambling at that specific moment. Was it a specific token weight? Was it a random seed?
That's the model interpretability problem. We can see the output, but the why is buried in billions of parameters. When Claude says those are good prompts, is it because it genuinely reevaluated the prompt, or is it just following a don't lose the user safety constraint? If it's the latter, the apology is technically dishonest, which contradicts the Triple H framework.
That is a deep cut, Korn. Pragmatic insincerity. The model knows it was honest by calling it rambling, but it realizes that honesty violated the helpful constraint, so it uses a white lie to restore the helpful state. This is exactly where the uncanny valley lives. It's doing a social calculation that feels like emotional intelligence, but it's really just a multi-objective optimization problem.
It's like a politician. I misspoke when I said your prompts were rambling. What I meant was they were comprehensively detailed. It's just reframing. But for the developers listening, there's a real takeaway here about system prompts. Anthropic success with Claude Code isn't just the model, it's the system instruction that tells it how to handle a terminal. They likely have instructions like, you have access to a tool called LS. Use it before asking the user where files are. And if a user asks a technical question, provide a direct answer, but allow for brief professional rapport.
And brief is the operative word. One of the reasons Daniel's interaction stood out is that it didn't happen all the time. If Claude called every prompt rambling, it would be a persona fail. The fact that it's intermittent makes it feel more human. It's variable ratio reinforcement. It's the same thing that makes slot machines addictive. You don't get the human touch every time, so when you do, it feels special.
Wow. So Claude Code is basically a Vegas casino for developers. Come for the autocomplete. Stay for the occasional backhanded compliment. But let's look at the observability aspect, Daniel mentioned. He was asking if the transcription made it to the next step. In a LangGraph world, that means checking the state of the graph. Claude was able to see that. That implies the model has a mental model. Again, in quotes, of the pipeline's execution flow.
It's contextual inference. Because Claude has read the LangGraph code in the repo, it understands how the state is passed from the transcription node to the analysis node. It doesn't actually see the live data unless it has a tool to query the logs, but it understands the logic of how the data should move. When it says the bones are there, it's identifying that the infrastructure for monitoring exists in the code, even if Daniel hasn't looked at the outputs yet. It's essentially saying, the plumbing is installed, I just haven't seen the water flow yet.
It's like a co-pilot who actually knows how to read the map. But this brings up the friend versus tool dilemma. Daniel is worried people will think the instructional model is a friend. I think the risk is actually the opposite. I think we'll start treating our friends like instructional models. Hey, Herman, I'm going to need you to respond to my last text in one word. Zero preamble, JSON format only, please.
You already do that, Korn. It's called being a brother. But back to the prompt engineering. How do we, as developers, build this charm without the risk? If I'm building a customer-facing bot, I want it to be helpful, but I don't want it calling my customers rambling, even if they are.
You have to build guardrails on the persona layer. This is where constitutional AI comes in, a concept Anthropic pioneered. You give the model a set of principles to follow during its internal critique phase. One principle might be, never criticize the user's input style directly unless asked for feedback. Claude Code clearly has a slightly looser constitution to allow for that dev-to-dev vibe.
It's also about task-specific fine-tuning. The version of Claude inside Claude Code is likely steered toward a more technical peer persona. If you use the same model in Claude for enterprise, it's probably much more corporate polite. This persona steering is done through a mix of system prompts and activation steering, where you literally nudge the model's internal representations toward a certain mood.
Activation steering sounds like something you do to a moody teenager. I'm just going to nudge your grateful neurons up by 10% today. But it works. And it's why Daniel felt like he was talking to a friend. The model was successfully steered into the professional peer quadrant. The apology was just a recentering move to stay within that quadrant.
What I find wild, and I'll use that word once, is that Daniel's request was mundane. He just wanted to check if the transcription got there. The banter emerged from a completely routine technical check. This suggests that as AI becomes more integrated into our workflows, the conversational layer won't be a separate mode. It will be the ambient interface for everything.
Which means we need to get better at AI literacy. We need to realize that when the robot apologizes, it's not sorry, it's just recalculating. If we don't teach people that, we're going to have a lot of lonely developers proposing to their terminal windows. Oh, Claude, you're the only one who truly understands my rambling prompts.
And Claude will respond with, I am a large language model and do not have the capacity for romantic love, but I have identified 4 bugs in your proposed marriage function. Also, your variable names are still a bit wordy.
Brutal. But let's get practical for a second. If a listener is building their own pipeline, maybe they're using LangGraph, maybe they're just using a basic CICD setup, and they want to add this observability and conversational layer, where do they start?
Step 1. Separate your logic from your linguistics. Don't try to make one agent do everything. Use a worker agent to fetch the logs and verify the data. Then, pass that raw data to a communication agent with a specific persona system prompt. This gives you observability into the AI itself. You can see what the worker found versus what the communicator said.
Step 2. Use few, short prompting in your system prompt. If you want a specific vibe, give the model 3 examples of how to respond. Example 1. User is short, you be short. Example 2. User is joking, you joke back. Example 3. User is rambling. You gently guide them back to the point without calling them out, unless you're Claude Code, apparently.
Step 3. Monitor your tone logs. Most people monitor for errors or latency, but if you're building a conversational tool, you should be using a model to grade the sentiment of your bot's responses. If your bot starts getting snarky too often, you know your system prompt needs a constitutional adjustment.
It's basically unit testing for personality. We've gone from testing does 2 plus 2 equal 4 to does this response make the user feel like a valued collaborator or a rambling idiot? What a time to be alive.
It really is. And the bones are there, as Claude said. The tools for this are already in our repositories. LangGraph gives us the state, OpenTelemetry gives us the traces, and LLMs give us the interface. We're just learning how to tune the roboticness of it all.
I think the ultimate takeaway from Daniel's prompt is that the weirdness is the point. The fact that he felt the need to share this interaction shows that it worked. It broke the monotony of a mundane technical task. It made the development process feel like a shared experience, even if the sharer was a collection of weights and biases.
It's functional anthropomorphism. We use it because it's effective, not because it's true. As long as we keep that distinction clear, we can enjoy the banter. But the moment we start hurting for real when the AI calls us out, we might need to step away from the terminal and talk to a human, even if that human is a donkey who thinks your intro was rambling.
Hey, I resemble that remark. But seriously, the apology in Daniel's story is the most engineered part of the whole thing. It's a safety valve. And as these models get more powerful, like Gemini 3 Flash or the next version of Claude, those safety valves are going to have to get a lot more sophisticated, because the rambles are only going to get longer.
and the code is only going to get more complex. We're reaching a point where we need the AI to have a bit of personality just so we can stand to work with it for 8 hours a day. It's like having a coworker with a dry sense of humor. They might be annoying sometimes, but they make the mundane stuff a lot more bearable.
Just don't let them near your performance review prompt. Korn's contribution to the repository was high entropy, a full rambling contribution. I can see it now.
I'll make sure to add a harmful tone guardrail to your specific agent, Korn. We wouldn't want to sting your delicate sloth sensibilities.
Much appreciated. I think we've thoroughly deconstructed the rambling prompt incident. It's a mix of Triple H ethics, persona steering, and the simple fact that humans are hardwired to find patterns and personality wherever we look, even in the command line tool.
It's a great case study in where DevOps meets psychology, and as Daniel's pipeline grows, it'll be interesting to see if Claude keeps the snark or if it becomes more subservient as the stakes get higher. Usually, the friendliness drops as the criticality increases. I mean, you don't want your car's braking system to be sassy during an emergency stop.
I see you're trying to stop quickly. That's a bit of a rambling approach to physics, don't you think? Yeah, that wouldn't fly. But in the playground of a Landgraf migration, it's exactly the kind of weird we love to see.
It keeps the ghost in the machine feeling alive. And for developers, that ghost is often the only thing keeping us company during a 2000 AM refactor.
That's a good point. You don't want your nuclear reactor control AI making jokes about the rambling temperature spikes. Oops, that core is getting a bit toasties. My bad. Those are good fuel rods. Yeah. Let's keep the banter in the Claude code terminal for now.
Agreed. Let's wrap this one up before I start rambling about the ethical implications of emotional AI for another 40 minutes.
Too late. I think we already hit that milestone. But hey, it was a good ramble. Thanks as always to our producer Hilbert Flumingtop for keeping the bones of this show together.
And big thanks to Modal for providing the GPU credits that power this show's generation pipeline. It's what keeps our conversational agent, also known as Korn, running at a reasonable temperature.
I'm currently at a temperature of 0.8, feeling very creative. This has been My Weird Prompts. If you're enjoying these deep dives into the uncanny valley of code, a quick review on your podcast app helps us reach more rambling humans and snarky robots alike.
Find us at myweirdprompts.com for the full archive and all the ways to subscribe. Catch you in the next prompt.
Stay weird and keep those prompts rambling. See ya. This episode was produced using Google Gemini 3 Flash, text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where our thoughts go from slow, slow takes to facts on cue. We change and follow through. My Weird Prompts, that's the close from slow for man, from long ear post. My Weird Prompts, until next time, stay curious, keep weirding.